Hello, this is Barry. Thank you for joining us online. We'll get to the next message in our Better Than Happy series shortly, but I wanted to take a little bit of time to invite you to join with us as we're trying to reach more people with the life-changing gospel of Jesus. Our church and our online ministry is growing, and every number has a name, and every name has a story, and every story is important to God. Would you consider giving so that we can help more people meet, know, and follow Jesus? If you'd like to help us, go to gracepointkitsap.com/give. Thank you so much. Morning. Are you tired? Are you all here? Some of you didn't know. Turn to somebody next to you and say, it is your blessing. You said that. It is your blessing to sit next to me today. See, you're all a blessing. All a blessing. It was a blessing for me to take a couple Sundays off of teaching that allowed me to be blessed by other communicators in our church, but also allowed me the opportunity to prepare for next ministry year's sermon series, really from next September through the summer of 2019. Yes, we planned that far out. And I'm excited for every series we do. I don't know, that's just me. I'm excited for every series. And I can't wait for September to start. But we're going to stay in this series. This is a brand new series today. I'm excited to teach this series called This Is What We Do. This is what we do. Because of what he did, because of what Jesus did, this is what we do. We embrace this. We are excited about this. Some of you, your life revolves around this, and this is super important. This is super important. You get excited about this. When this happens, doors open and problems are solved. When this happens, many people are blessed. When this happens, God's blessings flow in our direction. When this happens, it's just a part of our lifestyle. This is who we are. This is what we do. And lives are changed. And so you're sitting there going, well, what is this? What are you talking about? Because of what he did, we are irrational, generous givers. This is what we do. We are irrational, generous givers. Now, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, the whole idea of being generous is like, that is irrational. That is absolutely irrational. But if you understand what God says and follow God's word, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's because of what he did. This is what we do. And let me just clarify something really quick. If you are here today and you are checking out Christianity, don't worry. This is you can observe. This is not for you. If you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, but you're a very good spouse and you come with your spouse, or a very good friend, you come with your friend, you can just relax. In fact, you can have a fun morning looking at all the other Christians and seeing who gets stressed out. Seeing who gets nervous, seeing if there's beads of sweat coming down some people's faces. You can take a picture of it and send it to me. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Here's what I'm talking about, though. But if you are a follower of Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and you accepted him as Savior, and Jesus has forgiven you, and Jesus has redeemed you, and Jesus has secured your home in heaven, if all of those things is what Jesus did for you, what we're talking about in the next 3 weeks is not optional. In Scripture, it is not optional. We don't read this and go, heads I'll obey and tails I will choose not to. This is not how it works. If you are a follower of Jesus, no matter if you're a brand new follower, you've been following Jesus for decades, this is not optional. This is not optional. Now, so we are going to talk about what the Bible says believers are to do with what God has provided financially. We're going to talk about that. I'm not ashamed to talk about that. I'm not cautious about talking about that. I'm not awkward talking about that. In fact, I am excited to talk about it. Here's why I'm excited to do this. A couple of reasons. Because it's important for you. It's important for you to know. Some of this is be brand new information. You're like, I didn't know the Bible talked about this. Wow, this is new. This is hard, but this is new. It's important to know this. It's beneficial to you. It is for your benefit. It's for your benefit. I understand, especially in this county, people come in, they get shipped in, they get orders to come in, and then they move on, they move out. And so wherever you land as a follower of Christ, in 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 20 years from now, maybe in a different church, it is beneficial for you. So this is not just a Grace Point thing. This is for your benefit, and it is for your blessing. We want you to experience the blessings of God in your life that probably you're not experiencing to its fullness, and we want that for you. And why I'm excited about this, and those of you who do, you are generous givers, you understand what the Word of God has been teaching, and you're in a habit of doing this, this is what you do, you're excited for them too. You're like, I want other people to be blessed by this. Now, if you're new to this, this may sound crazy, but when it comes to blessings, I ask this question usually when I'm talking with someone one-on-one and they got a challenge in their life and I got to present God's word to them, God's truth to them, I ask them this question. If I have a couple in front of me and their marriage is fighting and strife-filled and they're not having fun at all, I usually, if they're followers of Jesus, I ask them this question. Here's the question that I'm going to ask you. How bad do you want God's blessing in your life? How bad do you want God's blessing in your marriage? How bad do you want God's blessing in your family and in your future? How bad do you want it? Usually the follow-up question to this is, are you willing to do whatever it takes to receive God's blessings? And then that's where the deer in the headlight look comes, like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I want a good marriage. I want a good this or that. How bad do I really want it? Because it may cost me something. It may cost me something. Here's the central point this morning. Putting God first perfectly positions us for God's blessing. Putting God first, top priority, perfectly positions us for God's blessing. And as we talk about money today, you're going to go, oh, I don't know about this. I'm not sure this. I can do that. We'll unpack that for you. Now, we don't get to choose how God blesses us. He can bless us with a lot of different ways. But there is a condition with blessings. It's called obedience. Obedience. Last service, we had a great opportunity. A man who trusted in Christ went public with his faith. And we all cheered and whistled and we celebrated. And it's not because he got wet. It's warm water, by the way. It's because he obeyed God. He obeyed God. And when we obey God, and many times by faith, we perfectly position ourselves to receive God's blessing in our life. So how bad do you want God's blessing in your life? And the thing with money, and there's a reason why God in Scripture over 2,000 times mentions money and giving and what to do with the wealth and resources that God has given us. God mentions it over and over and over. And when Jesus was here, he talked about money and giving more than he talked about heaven or hell. Why? It's because God knows of all the distractions in our life to allowing God to be Lord of our life. We can let God be Lord of so many areas, but it's the hardest to allow God to be Lord of our paycheck. Because we think, that's my money. I did the work. I get to spend it however I want to. And that makes complete sense if you don't follow Jesus. But if you do follow Jesus, you have to change your thinking and think biblically. And when you do, when you obey, you perfectly position yourself to receive God's blessing in your life. Now, if I ask you this question, no need to respond, is are you a generous person? Most Americans go, yeah, I'm pretty generous. But when it comes to money, that's not true. Data shows that the average American, of what they receive, they give away 2.8%. 2.8%. And the thought is, well, if I had more money, if I made more money, I would give more. And I'm sure that you would want to give more. But the data doesn't show that. It says that if you make over $100,000 a year, your giving away decreases down to 2.6%. 2.6%. And the challenge that many of us face is I want to give more, but I just don't have it. If I had more, I would give more. And I believe a lot of people in this room, like, I would if I could, but I can't. I don't have enough. And so what happens is, and I think there's a huge majority, even in this room or those of you who are watching online, you fit into this category and you're in a cycle of scarcity. That's what we're going to talk about, a cycle of scarcity. And I'm going to compare that there is a better way to live. And when you're on the cycle of scarcity, everything's always tight and you always have more month than you end up with money that month. You ever been that way? I've been that way. But if it's a pattern, if it's a lifestyle, you're probably living in a cycle of scarcity. Here's what this looks like. Is that, first of all, God supplies. Wait a second. I applied for that job. I went to school to have the education to do that. You know, I'm the one that's doing the work in the school. No, no, no. Who gave you the body to do that job? Who gave you the mind to think to be able to do that job? Who gave you the physical capacity? See, everything, if you have a biblical worldview, everything comes from God. God gives you the very breath that you're taking right now. God owns everything. He is Lord, ruler, sovereign, owner of all. So whatever we get, God supplies it to us. And here's what happens with the cycle of scarcity. First of all, is we consume what we receive and we spend it here and here and here and here. We pay for this and pay for this and buy that and buy that. And then what happens is then we lack. We don't have enough. There's more month than I have in my bank account. And what happens with that is then we are afraid. We're fearful. Oh no, what's going to happen? And what happens is we get in the cycle is we got a couple weeks left and the month is that, and I feel bad, but you know, actually I feel better if I go to the mall and buy something. If I go to the restaurant and okay, I'm gonna put it on the credit card, but I'm gonna pay it back. And then we live in a cycle of God supplies, we consume, we lack, we fear, we consume, we lack, we fear, and this is how we live. So when you go to church and they talk about giving, your walls go up, you're already stressed, and you're like, oh, I don't want to hear this. Of all Sundays, why did I come today? It's because you're living in a cycle of scarcity, and there's a better way. There's a biblical way to transform you, to live and spend and do it totally different. And those of you who are irrational, generous givers, you're inside, you're kind of doing a happy dance going, yes, I was there and I went God's way and it's way better. So we're going to unpack God's way. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth several letters. This is the second one. And the thing about Corinth is the church at Corinth is very, in so many ways, is very similar to the American church. In materialism and idolatry and sexual perverse culture and challenges in the church, I mean, they're connected. And in this passage, Paul gives biblical instruction when it comes to money and what to do. And we're going to contrast a cycle of scarcity to a cycle of generosity, and it's way better. So we begin in verse 6. He starts off with this. Remember this. Remember, like I told you before, and now moving forward, I want you to always come back to this. I want you to remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. This is a principle that everybody, whether you're a follower of Christ or not, it happens. Whatever you give, you receive. If you give a little, you get a little. If you give a lot, you get a lot back. It doesn't matter. Sowing and reaping. He says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. This is a heart decision. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves what? A cheerful giver. Now, how many of you parents have children? How many of you have children? Okay, all right. You know, hardly anybody raise their hands. How many of you know of children? Okay. Now, we got multiple kids, and now they're older now. But I tell you, if you're a parent, and there is like one cookie left, one like large chocolate chip cookie left, and two kids enter the kitchen, and one kid grabs it first and starts doing this, and you stop them, you need to share with your sister. You need to share with your sister. Now, if your child that grabbed the cookie does this, then it quickly determines which size is bigger, and then gives the smaller half. When you see that as a parent, you go, oh, that made my heart feel so good. I'm so proud of him. Is that what you're thinking? You're thinking, oh, come on. But if you would walk into the kitchen and child number one sees the cookie, grabs the big cookie, and on his own, as he sees his sister walk in the room, breaks it in half and goes, here you go, and hands it to his sister with a cheerful heart, what will you do as a parent? Faint. Right? But if they would do that and here you go, on their own inside, you're welling up like, yes, thank you so much. And you are happy, so happy. That's the mood. That's the theme of this verse is God goes, I'm going to talk about giving. And God loves a cheerful giver. I don't want you to do it reluctantly or you're forced to. And that's what we don't want that here at Grace Point. We want to honor God's word. And when it's time to giving, it's like, yes, we get to give. And actually, the word cheerfully in the Greek means, that's where we get the word hilarious. God loves hilarious givers. Like, yes, I'm so excited, I just can't help myself. Offering's coming, woo! Get the paycheck, oh, go online, baby, yeah. I wonder how many of us do that. God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, now there's verse 8. First word, and. Meaning this is a cause and effect. If you give cheerfully, not reluctantly, you give, God loves a cheerful giver, and you do that, cause and effect, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts, meaning given generously and with a cheerful heart, freely scatter their gifts to the poor, and their righteousness endures forever. Their right choices endure forever. When we give back to God, the ripple effect continues throughout eternity of why you gave and what happened when you gave. So go back to verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly. Now, this is not what we see sometimes on television. You know, that God wants you healthy and wealthy. And this is like, you got to give, you know, give that X amount of money and you're going to get X money back. Now, my wife and I, we've experienced this over the course of our entire marriage, that at times when we give generously financially, that God, sometimes we are blessed financially back. A surprise check in the mail, a surprise gift from a loved one, a surprise gift card. That happens sometimes. but not every time. Because God goes, I can bless you abundantly in all sorts of ways. How much is it worth to you for God to then, because you obey me, I'm going to bless your marriage? Can you put a price tag on that? Okay, because you're honoring me, you're putting me first, I'm going to bless your children, and I'm going to bless them in the choices that they make. I'm going to bless this area. There's all sorts of ways that God says, if you honor me, you obey me, you perfectly position yourself to receive my blessings. And the scripture even teaches this, that times God is holding back blessings because his children are living in disobedience. And when they obey, it's like God gets to bless them. Now, I love, as a dad of three daughters, I love lots of things about being a dad. And I believe it's my God-given right as a dad to tease my daughters every possible chance I get. Amen. That's right. That's right. Just keeps them humble, keeps them light, and a lot of laughter. But as a dad, I long to bless my daughters. I'm even working on something now, and I'm not going to tell you all now because my daughters sometimes watch online, is I'm going to try to do something just to really bless one of my daughters. And when my daughters, and there were times growing up, all those teenage years, when there's like, I'm hearing your dad, but I don't like you right now. You know, you're making my life miserable. And at times I told my daughters, that's my goal. You found my secret. I'm trying to ruin your life. And they're laughing, Dad. But those attitudes were like, speak to the hand. Man, it's really hard to just like bless them when they're just being a pain in the backside, right? I'm sure I'm the only parent that feels that way. But when they're joyful and happy and obedient, and hey, Dad, can I do this for you? I'm just like, oh, how can I bless you? How can I bless you? And when I get Starbucks cards, I don't drink coffee. But I'm like, well, what daughter can I give it to now? And I surprise them. They're like, oh, my goodness, thanks, Dad. That's the spirit of our Heavenly Father. He goes, I can bless you abundantly. And in Scripture, God holds back blessings when we're disobedient children. So here's the pattern here, okay? Putting God first. When we put God first, here's God's math. We give, he multiplies. We give, he multiplies. This is a great retirement plan, okay? Financially, you want to find somewhere where I give and it multiplies. This is my kind of math, and this is the Bible's math for God. You give, and I multiply. If you give a little, I still multiply a little. If you give generously, I will multiply generously. Continues in verse 10. He goes, now he, God, who supplies seed to the sower. Sowers don't invent seeds. Okay, God does that. He supplies that. He supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also, promise, also supply and increase your store of seed, meaning your resources, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. That's a really churchy word, righteousness, right living, right choices. You make right choices and live right according to God. He goes, I will increase your resources and enlarge your harvest. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And when we give financially, there will be people on the other side of the globe will thank God that someone gave because they were blessed. We give, God multiplies. God multiplies. So let me contrast the cycle of scarcity with the cycle of generosity. Here's a cycle of scarcity. God supplies, we consume what we want to first, then we lack, and then we are fearful, and then we actually spend some more that we don't have, and then think we're going to pay it back, and then all of a sudden we're crazy in bondage and debt, and we never have enough. It's never enough. Oh, I wish I would just make more. God goes, no, I can't give you more because you're not being wise with what I am giving you. Here's the better way. Cycle of generosity. God supplies, and the first thing we do is we give. All through Scripture, when it's talking about giving back to God, tithes and offerings, it's your first fruits. First, when you receive, you give. First thing you do. What happens when we do it this way is we give, And then God multiplies. God uses what we're given in a multiplying way we can't see, but also he multiplies blessings in all sorts of ways. And when we get addicted to God blessing us, what happens is that our faith grows. Oh, God's a pretty big God. And then it inspires us, we want to give more. We want to give more. How can we give more? Oh my goodness, God keeps blessing me so I can actually give more. And then I see God multiplying, my faith grows, and then you get to the place that I'm at and others in this room are at, is like, I used to live in the cycle of scarcity and I could not afford to give. I started obeying God and now I can't afford not to give. I can't afford not to give because I want God's blessings in not just finances, but in all areas of my life. I want it that bad. So when God gives, I give back. The first thing I do. So what I want to do is I want to explain, this thing called the tithe that is misunderstood by lots of people. Well, the tithe is a Hebrew word that means one-tenth. I'm not that smart in math, but I can get this. There's 10, one tithe, okay? One-tenth. I get 10%, and then there's 90% left over. I can get that. That's what a tithe means, that God supplies, and the first thing I do is I give back to God. It's a worship, it's a respect, it's obedience. It's like, God, because of what you did, this is what I do. I can't earn my salvation. That's not salvation. Because what you did in scripture, this is what I do. So we give back. Now, some of you are going, wait. Tithe is Old Testament. That's associated with the law of Moses. We live in the New Testament era of grace, not the law. And that's partly true. The tithe is part of the Old Testament law, but it precedes the Old Testament law. The tithe we see in scripture, and people modeled it in scripture beforehand, as God blessed them, they immediately, out of worship, the first thing they did is they gave 10% back to God. It's included in the Old Testament. In fact, when Jesus was here, he had a conversation in Luke chapter 11 with the Pharisees, and he said, you know what, I see you tithe this, and you tithe this, and you tithe this, and you tithe this. A whole lot of different areas they were giving a tenth to. He says, but you're neglecting justice and the love of God. He says, continue with the former, tithing, but don't lack the latter. So he didn't say, you don't need to tithe anymore. He says, continue with it, but don't lack justice and the love of God, because what you're doing is for yourself, and you're doing it without a love for God. So don't be quick to just throw out tithe. Now, if you really want to get hardcore and legalistic about it, like, I don't do the tithe, because that's the Old Testament. Okay, fine. Well, generosity is mentioned more in the New Testament, so you can either start with tithing or start out generous. And generous is more than 10%. Your choice. Your choice. But I believe that the tithe was a building block, a foundation to help us understand that how to put God first. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 14, the purpose of the tithe is stated, that the tithe is to help us put God first in everything in of our life. We all need patterns. We need habit-building patterns and guardrails. And the tithe preceded the Old Testament law, including the Old Testament law. Jesus talked about it, and that's a good starting point. And the longer you are a believer, you should go beyond that. Go beyond that because of what he did. This is what I do. So when it comes to the tithe, some of you are going, whoa, this is new information, or this is really uncomfortable information. Let me just remind you that this sounds scary. I mean, you're saying the Bible says that I need to at least start the habit of giving 10% first. You know, what you're saying is that I'm going to have to rearrange my life to make this happen. And my answer is exactly what I'm saying, with no apologies. Because you need to rearrange your life to perfectly position yourself for God's full blessings. You say, whoa, okay, this is the 11th. The 15th is coming. My next paycheck is right around the corner. What you're saying, if I do this, this will take require massive changes. Exactly. Okay, I don't know, because this scares me. If I do this, this like would take crazy faith for me to trust in God to do this. Exactly what I'm talking about. And better yet, it's exactly what Scripture talks about. How big of a God do you really believe in? How big of a God do you really believe in? If you believe in a little God in a little box, then this makes no sense to you. But God was, aren't you glad God was generous with what he gave you with salvation? Aren't you glad that God was generous that he didn't forgive you of some of your sins, but all of your sins? Aren't you glad God was generous in that you are my child forever and ever? God did not operate on the cycle of scarcity with his love and forgiveness and grace because of what he did. This is what we do. So some of you are like, oh my God, this is really stressful. I'm not sure I like coming to church today. And you're going to be tempted to, I think I'll miss the next 2 weeks. Please do not. I'm going to unpack this as much as I can, and it's for your benefit and blessing. So let me unpack to you the power of tithe, the power of having this building block. If you've never done it before, having this building block, there is power in this principle, tithe. First of all, it's this for your notes. Tithe teaches us to put God first. That's the purpose of it. Teaches us to put God first. Jesus was talking to a crowd on a hillside and they're all nervous and he was talking about don't worry about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat and where you're going to live, all the worries that all of us in 2018 worry about. In that context, Jesus said this, you need to seek first the kingdom of God. And all these other things, all these other needs, all these other important things will be added to you. But many times we don't want to seek God first. We just want what we want and what we need. And God goes, no, you got it backwards. Seek first God's kingdom. Obey God first, and all these other things will be added unto you. Trust me. So are you going to trust God or not? Tithe, the power of tithe, teaches us to put our trust in God first. First. Second power of tithe is it builds our faith. It builds our faith. Tithing forces us to use our faith muscles. Tithing forces us to use our faith muscles. Now, when we had the blessing, thank you so much, church, for allowing us to go on sabbatical this fall. I really didn't think this through, that being gone, physically gone for 3 months in a row, how few home-cooked meals we would have. And the longer I went, the larger I got. In fact, we took family pictures in November, and I felt like, like this. I came home, and I looked in the mirror. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I need to change my diet and start working out. So I changed my diet, started working out. And I remember the first time, I'm going to drop and do 25. My arms are shaking. Why? Because my muscles are going, what are you doing? You haven't been using me. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Then we got a membership. My wife and I get to do some stuff together. Empty nest. We're like, what do we do? Let's go work out together. First time on the plan. 10 pull-ups. No problem. One. And I let go. I was so embarrassed. My wife was standing right there. And you know, there's all these men in the, you know, looking at the mirror and all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, I'm so embarrassed. Last week I did 15. Right? It's like, it's not because I'm so strong. I mean, I'm sure you think that when you see this, you know, muscle mass right here. But I'm telling you, why is it, my muscles didn't change. They were exercised. When we exercise faith, our faith increases. When we exercise, our faith increases. Now, this is so true, so profound. Here's this thought. It takes faith to give first. It doesn't take faith to give last. Let that sink in. We get a paycheck on the 15th or the 1st or whatever you get paid. It takes faith to say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to give first. Help me manage the 90%. It does not take faith to give last. When you've consumed and paid everything that you wanted to pay and then go, oh, God, I have enough left over. I'm getting the next paycheck in a few days. I'm now going to give. I feel good. Doesn't take faith. I put this quote in a week before Billy Graham passed away. Do you know what he said years ago? 90% with God's blessing goes further than 100% without. When God gives, and I live off of 90%, it goes further than when I don't give it all. I keep it all to myself. And there's way too many of you, you're missing God's blessing. You're missing God's blessing because you're not giving God first and your faith. In Malachi chapter 3, he says this. Bring the whole tithe. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. And I love it. He says, test me in this, says the Lord. And he adds what? Almighty. A lot of times there's scripture, thus saith the Lord. But in here he says, test me in this, says the Lord, what? Almighty. All powerful. I can bless you. I can knock your socks off. I'm the Lord Almighty. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. God, the only time in scripture that God challenges us to challenge him, he says, test me. Bring it on. Bring it on. Because I'm the Lord Almighty. I can handle whatever I know is coming your way, whatever surprise financially is coming your way. I am the Lord Almighty. I want to bless you. I'm holding off, in this passage says, I'm holding off blessing because you're robbing me. What? You're not giving to me first. Test me in this. I'm going to go back to that quote from Pastor Billy Graham. Test God with this. Your next paycheck. Sorry, go back to that. Test God in this. Take him up. Okay, God, I may think of you as a little God. You're the Lord Almighty. I'm going to test you. So it goes back to my question. How bad, you can go to the next one. How bad do you want God's blessing in your life? How bad do you want God's blessing in your life, your marriage, your family, your kids, your future? Here's my tithing story. I started tithing when I was 14 years old. When you have a house filled with siblings of Bonnie, Barry, Betty, Becky, Bobby, Brindy, and Bradley, that's a lot of mouths to feed. And Boom Boom, the dog who was blind. And my parents, I want this as a 14-year-old. Okay, we got teenagers in the room. I started at 14. And I got a job on Monterey Highway in San Jose, serving, you know, mopping floors and cleaning, taking out trash, eventually, you know, helped cooking a little bit, making milkshakes at Dairy Bell, not Dairy Queen, Dairy Bell. And if I worked 8 hours back then, 8 hours a day, my daily wage total was $17. And I remember getting my first paycheck, and my parents sat down and said, hey, this is how what scripture says, and this is habit, and we want you to start out with your first paycheck. We want you to give, you know, tithe 10% back to God. I remember as a 14-year-old going, what? And I remember when I received my paycheck, I had two thoughts and two emotions. The first emotion that I had was anger when I saw the government's taking what? My dad was like, welcome to life, son. And then I'm like, I need to write. And I remember pulling out a check and writing a check for my tithe. And some of you are like, what's a check? Google it, all right? I remember to my home church, I wrote. And I was like, man, I could use this. But I remember going to church, and I put it in the offering that came by. And there was this overwhelming sense of like, oh, I obeyed God. And then I saw him blessing in my life. And then it got to the point where I got a paycheck. And the first thing I did, I was like, can I write a check? 2 years later, I'm 16, and I wanted a car. What 16-year-old guy doesn't want a car? And 17 bucks a day wasn't going to work. And so I prayed, and God blessed me. My next-door neighbor was a painting contractor, hired me. And at that time, all my friends, they worked 8 hours, and they got $24. And my painter contractor, you know, was giving me $50 cash every single day. Working 6 days a week in the summer. It never rains in San Jose. And in 1 month, I was able to purchase my car, cash, put new rims and a paint job on my 1969 Pontiac Firebird, three on the floor. I was like the man on campus. with a big afro. But I knew it was God's blessing. It was God's blessing. And he continued. Next summer, it was 60 bucks a day, then 70, then 80, 100 bucks a day. 6 days a week, all summer long. Only rained out one time in all those years. And I just knew, and it was fun to give. Then I get married. My wife and I get married, and we started ministry. The first ministry was a church in Vancouver, Washington. The salary was out of this world. It was $100 a month for a full-time youth pastor. And they thought they were overpaying me. But it was like, okay, well, then we'll give what we have. And then God blessed my wife with a great job in downtown Portland. And God allowed us to do things. And it was like, it was because of God's blessing. And of 32 plus years, we have never missed a giving opportunity, tithing opportunity. There are times as parents, it was like, we don't have enough this month. Instead of saying, well, we won't tithe, I called the bank and said, we can't make our minivan payment this month, put it on the end, fix my credit score, and that's God's problem. And God just kept blessing and blessing and blessing. And years ago, we said, now we're going to go past the 10%. And God just keeps blessing and blessing. I tell you, one of the phrases that my wife and I have used more this past 6 months of, we are so blessed, we are so blessed, we are so blessed. And it's not financially necessarily. It's like I look at my three daughters, and one's married, a godly man. They're serving a ministry together. The second one's engaged. She's so quick, she wants to throw away my name. And she gets married in June to another godly golfer. And then our youngest one is walking with Jesus. I mean, it's like we're so blessed, we're so blessed, we're so blessed. So God goes, I can bless you abundantly in every way. Because I'm the Lord Almighty. And now we love it because of what he did. This is what we do. Not even a thought. Not even a hesitation. God's blessing. Power tithe, it teaches us to put God first. It builds our faith. And lastly, it provides for the work of the church. Provides for the work of the church. No apologies in saying this. This is not a grace sport thing. This is a Bible thing. There's lots of great charities, but there's only one institution on the earth today that was founded and started by Jesus Christ, and that's the church. Flaws and all, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's a lot of places to give, but primarily the number one institution that Jesus started to change the world, to share the gospel, is the church. That's where we give first. Then we can give all sorts of places. But it provides for the work of the church. When you give your tithe, it blesses beyond this county. Malachi says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. He's talking more than just physical food. This is a house of worship called Grace Point Church. So let me ask you a question, no need to respond. Is God using this church in this season of your life to make a difference in your life spiritually? Food spiritually. Is God using this church to help play a part of feeding your children spiritually? Is God using this church to help feed your teenager spiritually? If so, you give so the work goes forward. The word of God is taught that we give. For what? Because of what he did, this is what we do. This is what we do, this is who we are, this is what we do. We just do it because God's word says it and because we see the abundance and the blessings of God. This is what we do. The question is, are you a part of the we? This is what we do. Are you part of the we? Or you're on the sidelines? So, we are going to take our offering in just a second. But in your program, once you pull out this flyer called the Tithe Challenge. We're going to claim Malachi chapter 3. This is not a Grace Point challenge. This is not a Barry challenge. This is a God challenge. God says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. So here's the deal. We've done this before. Great stories of what God did. It's for the next 3 months, starting with your next paycheck. The challenge is, will you by faith say, I'm going to give God first. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to bring the whole tithe. I'm going to rearrange my life and watch God work. So here's the challenge. for the next 3 months, you say, I'm going to trust God, step out in faith, and obey. And if after 3 months, God doesn't hold his end of the bargain, you don't see the blessings of God in any fashion, let us know. We'll give you all the money that you gave in the last 3 months back. Because this is way beyond Grace Point. This is a God challenge. The last time we did this, we had crazy stories. I've going to church all my life, never tithed. Now we can never stop tithing because of what God's doing in our life and our kids and our marriage. By faith, fill it out. Place will come shortly. Put it in. If you need to talk to your spouse, bring it back next Sunday, the next 3 weeks. Notice I didn't say pray about it. It's obedience. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. So we're going to sing a song as we pray. It's perfectly fitting because it's called surrender. Because this is one of the areas that we have the hardest time to surrendering to the Lord is that he is Lord of my paycheck. Would you bow your head as we pray? God, thank you that you're not ashamed to talk about giving and money and how to use it and to give to you first, to honor you first, sowing and reaping and what you will do because you're the Lord Almighty. And God, I'm so thankful that I started this foundational block of tithing years ago and moved past it. It's just, it's such a blessing. And to see how you've blessed those in this room because they've obeyed you. It went past their fear and they obeyed by faith. And God, I want that for every individual, whether it's a teenager or a single or a couple or grandparents, I want them to experience they give you multiply. They obey you bless. Wherever they move, God, it's not about Grace Point, it's about them and you. So God, I pray that you would move in hearts, not under compulsion, but they would, with a cheerful attitude, say, I'm going to obey the Lord Almighty and watch him work. Lord, help us to surrender. Surrender our paycheck that you will be Lord of that area of our life as well. So God, show up in big ways so that their faith grows stronger. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, and all that he did for us. We say thank you and we say amen. Take the offering.